Hey guys, and welcome back to the Barca Breakdown. I'm Yusef.
And my name is Adam. Hope you guys are all having a wonderful Sunday. The victory today did raise my hopes a bit after that Copa loss last week. As always, if you guys can go on iTunes and give us a review, that would be very helpful. Even if you're a Spotify fan, you can go on iTunes and give us a review. Also follow us and, you know, watch out for our new episodes on iTunes and Spotify as well. Love it when you guys message us or DM us or, you know, like our posts on Instagram or Twitter. We are at Barca Breakdown. In particular, the next few weeks, what we're working on over here is we kind of want to create some Barca apparel for the Barca Breakdown. Kind of the reason we started the Barca Breakdown podcast was because we didn't think there were a lot of good English content for fans out there covering Barca. As well, we find that there's kind of a lack of, you know, affordable Barca merchandise besides buying a shirt from the club or a jersey, which, you know, as much as we all love to buy new jerseys, sometimes you want something more casual that you can wear around to show your support of the club. So that's kind of what we're looking for. So any recommendations you guys have, we would love to hear about it. All right, Yus. Madrid won today against Osasuna. We thought maybe Real would lose because they were down 1-0, but they won 4-1, putting us 6 points back before this game. Let's just get into the lineup. We had Firpo. Interesting, because that's what we wanted to see.
For sure.
We had Firpo, Umtiti, Lenglet, Semedo, Vidal, Busquets, Frankie, and then Messi, Griezmann, Sergi Roberto.
Okay, so already you've already talked about something I've complained about last game, which was Semedo, Roberto starting, right? I don't like that. It bothers me. I don't think it's very good. It's not a great offensive duo. And so that was my first no. I was excited to see Firpo. I even made a post today, and I know some of you guys saw it on Instagram. FC Barcelona and Miguel Ruiz posted pictures of Firpo as their first picture, and I was like, wow, is this foreshadowing Firpo playing? So I was excited that he actually got to start, and it also gives Alba some rest, and we know Alba's had some rocky play. And then we also started with Vidal, and we've been saying we need Vidal starting. We saw that today, so I was excited about that. And then we had Griezmann starting, which he didn't start last game, so I was also I was kind of worried because we have Sergi on the other side, which is still a bothersome thing to me with Griezmann. And then the back, of course, we didn't have Piqué because he's out on a yellow card, so we had Umtiti and Lenglet.
Interesting. But, well, I guess more in terms of like analysis and how you thought this lineup was going to play. I think you kind of touched on something I thought as well, which is that, you know, Sergi Roberto and Semedo, when they play on that right side, never seem to gel well and create offense. I had a tweet this week on, you know, Barca Breakdown where I was saying we just have a lack of players who are willing to take anyone on one-on-one, especially with Semedo, Alba, Firpo, Sergi Roberto. You know, Fati will take people on one-on-one, right? That's the one thing I like about him a lot. But those five players I mentioned before, you know, anytime we get the ball wide, it doesn't seem like they're ever willing to take on a defender and try to beat them. Instead, they always kind of do what they did under Valverde, which was, okay, immediately look to pass it to, you know, Busquets or one of our center backs and kind of get the ball going around again. So with Firpo, and I thought maybe he could show us some of that fire. It was interesting because this is Firpo's first game back playing in Seville for Betis. And so, you know, I was excited to see how he did as well. We should mention Setien, his first game back coaching against his former club. So, you know, two of the Betis players playing. Also on the other side, Alenia, Bartra, right, former Barca players who spent a lot of time at the club, especially in their youth. But overall, like you said, I think I was glad to see Vidal. That was something we had harped on the last 2 weeks in a row, that we thought Vidal was crucial to our gameplay. Unfortunately, I think that prediction and that emphasis made us look a little bit dumb today, because Vidal obviously gave up that turnover that led to the second goal for Betis.
Sure.
But I was glad to see Griezmann start. I think, you know, he's having a hard time, and it's kind of a misfit season, and I'm not someone who, you know, I think this whole season, really, I've been defending Griezmann, saying that, hey, his offense will come, but his, you know, defensive work rate is something we really need, especially when we had Messi and Suarez lacking the legs to press all game. But, you know, at some point, I do have to start to wonder, well, where is this Griezmann offensive output going to come from, right? As much as I do value his defensive work rate and some of his abilities, he, you know, in this phase when Suarez has been out under Setien, doesn't seem to do the things that Suarez would do that were great, right? obviously, we all had our gripes with Suarez in the first half of the season at the end of last season, that he would miss some easy shots but score world-class goals out of nowhere, and that he didn't press throughout the whole game and kind of contribute defensively. Griezmann does contribute defensively, but he's doing some of those other things that we had against Suarez that we didn't like. He, you know, doesn't seem to make the runs that Suarez would and create more offensive space for Messi, which is something that I think is clearly lacking, even though today Messi looked more, you know, in tune with the game and more passionate than he has the last few weeks, and probably should have scored at least one goal today. It just seems like, the goalies are coming up world-class against him, right? They all look like Ole Black when they play against Messi. And, you know, maybe he just needs a little bit of time to get into form. He had a hat trick of assists that I thought was really good. But I do think because Griezmann is not able to make those runs and do some of those dummies that Suarez would, it is kind of clogging up our offense. So I guess my first question is, in light of this Betis game that we just won, Yus, what do you think about Griezmann? How long should the fans be patient with him not scoring? And is there a, like, do you see little ounces or little nuggets of gold that you think that, you know, with Setien coaching, that we'll be able to, you know, increase his offensive output on the team?
I think that Griezmann has some issues with maybe positioning during some of these games, and I think it's affecting his, and touches as well, and I think it's affecting his mindset. So the more often he does poorly, it seems to trickle down to other games, and I think with maybe he's not connecting with Firpo so much, which he should be since he's more to the left in some of these games. But to talk about our patience with Griezmann, how long should I or how long will I kind of support him and defend him as our season continues? I think, you know, as we're getting farther into the season and we're struggling to stay at the top of the to score goals and to keep up with Real Madrid right now, because today was a tough one and we barely took it. We had to come back twice from a deficit, but he's got to come up in the next, I don't know, maybe month, I would have to say, because Champions League is going to start up getting a little heavier. You know, we have
We have Champions League in the next 2 weeks, and then we have Madrid, I think, somewhere between like on that first
March
week
1st?
Of March. Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of big games are coming up, man. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting a little bit nervous. I think to kind of, you know, support why we've seen such issues with Griezmann, right? Under Valverde, no one on the offense really looked good this season, right? And this is Griezmann's first season. So, you know, in some sense, he played on the worst offensive Barca team we've seen in a good while. He also was playing in the left wing for a while. And, you know, he has to cover so much defensively that I can understand why, you know, why he's not hitting the ground running and just scoring like a maniac. At the same time, though, I could use a little bit more movement from him, as well as some, you know, I would like to see more one-touch passes with Messi to try and create space. I tweeted this week that, you know, no one on our midfield besides Busquets, and then obviously the biggest example of, you know, making like long passes that try to cut through the defense is Messi. But besides those two, we don't really see it from anyone in our midfield. At the same time, though, it really doesn't ever seem like Griezmann is, you know, making runs to get one-on-one with the keeper that often. He had those two goals against Ibiza that were big, and that was definitely his best goal-scoring game for Barca. But, you know, let's give it more time. I think my overarching theme of last week's podcast and this week is, you know, we got a new coach. Not everything's going to be super easy, and the team does look to genuinely be improving. And it's just more enjoyable to watch these games than it was under Valverde in that system that he had, Ernie, that bastard, where the team would just, you know, basically create a U around the opposing defense and then just pass it around and around and then hope that Messi or Suarez could create some magic. The team looks better, and I think if we give Griezmann some more time, he should be good. You know, we should dive a little bit more into the specifics of this Betis game, but it seems clear to me that with Messi, Griezmann, Fati up front, there's going to be some opportunities for us with Setien's attacking mindset to create some opportunities to score goals, and hopefully he can get it. Like you were alluding to with the Champions League and the Clásico coming up, we don't have much time for him to hit that stride and to, you know, start scoring, but I have hopes. I mean, I would say the narrative of Barca under Setien is just getting better and better. I guess to get into the game, right, the first goal Betis scored in like the 7th minute was a handball on Lenglet. He hasn't been great lately, but I did think he played better throughout the game until he got the second yellow and the red card. I mean, the refereeing was horrible today. Then there was the goal by Frankie de Jong, one of the best goals we've seen all season, right? I think you'd have to say. I mean, Messi, just a crazy lob ball, and then Frankie, one touch off his chest, kicks it right into the goal. What did you think about it?
The one thing I really enjoyed about that goal was that not only has Frankie been in kind of a slump ever since he got that red card and left the game, but he also seemed to be making a lot more runs from the midfield, creating space, moving forward, looking for the pass, or receiving the pass, that is. And in this messy assist to Frankie in the first goal, it looked like he had the speed and confidence of running down the field. And, you know, that's something I haven't seen in a long time from him. I just think it was spectacular. Probably one of his best games this season so far.
True, man. It's hard because, like, there's so many different emotions that come up with every game because each game we're kind of learning how to play a new style and we're, you know, advancing all the time. It's complex to analyze because, you know, we were talking about this mid-game, right? So we talked about the first and second goal. The third goal and the second goal Batiste scored in the game was because Arturo Vidal made a big mistake.
Awful.
Right? And basically just gave up the ball.
Bad touch.
And then bad touch. They got in a breakaway. Umtiti probably could have closed down. I think it was Fekir and could have, you know, helped Matt Stegen somewhat, but didn't. And so, you know, Frankie, the last four games, we would have said, man, he's not looked as good. He's been awful, but he's not looked as good. Doesn't seem like he's the player he was in Ajax, and he's not, you know, producing like we want. On the other hand, we were saying, wow, Vidal is clearly the guy that we're missing. And then today in this podcast, we're saying the reverse, right? So, like, do you think it's just that, you know, the players are not being consistent and that we haven't given them enough time to learn? Or, you know, how do you think our views have been so yo-yoing?
Well, I think one thing is that Setien is still sort of playing around with different types of players starting or different types of offensive strategies. And today, maybe I saw a lot of fluidity between some of these midfielders moving forward. Like at the beginning of the game, we saw Vidal pushed up far forward during most of the first half, I would say, switching off. Sometimes Frankie moved forward. But I think one is Vidal hasn't been consistently starting, so maybe he's just not so on top of it right now. I don't know 100%, but also with that, maybe they're trying out a different strategy that he's not as accustomed to. But, you know, it happens. Some of these games, some players are just, like, not on point, right?
Sure.
Frankie has had that issue recently.
Yeah, I know. And then, you know, today Arthur comes in, people like the way he was touching the ball, and then all of a sudden you hear, oh my God, we need to see a Frankie Arthur Busquets midfield, right? It's a season-long issue. I think what when I think about it, what it comes down to is that no one's really being consistent. And then, you know, it's a huge issue here, which is like under Valverde, it seemed like we only ever played one style. And so if we played against a team that was pressing as high or a team that was sitting back, we would play the same style and we couldn't really tell who was better because, you know, one game we're playing against a team that's sitting back and it's like, okay, you know, we really need to start Arthur and Frankie and Busquets. Then we would play a game like that Champions League game against Inter Milan where Vidal comes in at halftime. That was a more open game. And then we're saying, oh my God, Vidal is the key to this offense. So I think what we're really seeing is two things, that players are, you know, our midfield is just not consistent. Right, I think the reason why some games, you know, we and other fans are saying, "Oh my God, Vidal's key," then games and Frankie's not playing that well. Versus today, it was the opposite. It's just, you know, they haven't really been too consistent. And then, you know, we've switched a whole different attacking style under these two new coaches. So it's to be expected that, you know, certain midfielders would suit one style better than the other. It might be premature to ask this question, but now that you've gotten a feel for the different, you know, midfielders, a different style Setien's playing, what do you think is kind of our top three midfield that we should be looking to go out with right now?
Well, since Arthur has had some inconsistent play as well, it's kind of hard because, you know, all these people we can rest and have subs in are all sort of inconsistent, like you're saying. But I would say Busquets has been fairly on top of it, as opposed to all the other midfielders. Rakitic has not impressed me.
Oh, my God. Trashitic, man. I don't like trashing players, but Rakitic,
he's been doing
so
awful.
Bad.
Even
yeah.
The sub today, he didn't do very well. But,
sure.
Frankie,
wait for Sergio Berto, because we'll get on to him when we discuss this game more. But keep going.
Frankie de Jong, and then this is like the third lull, right? Like, is it Vidal that we need in?
Or Arthur,
which is, I don't think there's any other midfielder that I would say should be starting consistently. I would say for now, I want to see...
I think we agree. I think we want to see Vidal more now.
For sure.
Because Arthur hasn't looked great since he had the whole, you know, Brazilian brothel experience.
He had some...
He gained some weight, it looked like.
Well,
right?
He had some groin issues, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not it was connected to his whole escapade.
True. And, yeah, Arthur just hasn't looked good. I mean, I guess, you know, maybe the bigger question is if everyone's firing on all cylinders and playing the best, who would we choose? But I don't think... Especially with Arthur coming back from being injured and Frankie being inconsistent and then Busquets sometimes looking great, but then sometimes against, you know, teams that press us aggressively doesn't look good. I don't think we're really going to be able to have a good idea of like, okay, who do we need to start every game this season? I think it's going to kind of oscillate between who's hot at the moment.
Yeah, I think Ray put it nicely on BN Sports when he said that we're playing with a skeleton squad. You know, we really are lacking, and we've talked about this with the injuries and the random things that are going on with some of these players. We've done a decent job of rotating with under Setien, I should say.
Sure, by choice, by necessity. You're right, though, right? Like, you know, we were all wondering, well, why did Griezmann not start the last game? Well, Fati started, but he needed to get some rest. And then today we rested Fati again, right? Mm-hmm. You can't, like we've said all season, you can't start a 17-year-old every game and expect him to be healthy, especially when after his first string of like four games, he had growing pains, quote unquote, that had him out, right?
I remember that.
You know, we just got to be patient because the squad is so thin right now and see, you know, whoever's hot, we got to play them and hope that they do well as well. We need to figure out, you know, what the opposing team's going to play against us defensively and then choose the lineup that's most suited for that performance and that team. So keep going, right? Fekir scores the goal in like the 27th minute. And then just before halftime, we get another goal. Messi, free kick. He lobs it in. Busquets, just a little bit lucky because it seemed like Lenglet might have pushed the guy down. But Busquets gets it and crushes it into the net. Right before halftime, the whistle blew right after. And then in the 70th minute around, right, we had the third goal, which was Messi crossed it in, and then Lenglet
had a
beautiful header. It looked like kind of the reverse of that 2009 Champions League goal by Messi where it was looping and into the corner. The goalie did trip, as you were talking about during the game, but beautiful header. Messi had three assists, looked pretty good today.
He should have scored. Like, he had many opportunities where the goalie either narrowly saved it or it was blocked or something, but that little chip he had over the top that just curved outside the box.
Like the replay of his hat trick goal against Batiste last year in Seville. That was very nice. And then, of course, Fekir got a second yellow for mouthing off. Lenglet got a second yellow and a red for a kind of a weak foul.
It was a bad foul.
Batiste in that second half, we're trying to flop a little bit. Your arch rival, Alenia, had a flop.
Huge flop in the box.
And, you know, Messi looked like in like the 92nd minute should have gotten a call for a penalty because Bartra was hanging on to him.
Undoubtedly.
Arthur also went down in like the 80th minute, and it seemed like that would have been a good call for a penalty. But I guess taking the game as a whole, let's talk about some of the players, right? I think the player that stood out the best, and we've already praised him enough, is Frankie de Jong. I think on the opposite end of that spectrum, one of my favorite players, to be honest, but Sergio Roberto.
What to say about Sergi, right? I think there were quite a few opportunities where he made the wrong decision. I think there were points in time where he should have taken a shot, or shouldn't have hesitated and tried to make a pass. It seems like he is too hesitant to move the ball forward sometimes or just, you know, make a progressive pass. A lot of the time he seems to take the ball backwards. And my big point, and I said this on the last pod, he doesn't connect with Semedo whatsoever. It seemed like they were doing some passing just like back and forth maybe a little bit, but nothing progressive, nothing offensive. Not to mention, like, I just don't think he fills that position all too well anymore. There's just not enough room for him to work, I guess.
Not to be a dead horse, but with no Carlos Perez, with no Dembele, with no Suarez, you know, what choice do we have? Could we start Fati again after, you know, we just got done saying how good Setien has been at rotating and making sure that Fati doesn't get hurt? what other option would we have had? I mean, do you want to see Rakitic instead?
No.
Right? So it's a little bit hard to figure out what we could do instead of Roberto. So that's why I'm not necessarily all on Setien's case for choosing to start Sergi. He's a safe option. He's an experienced player who's played in some huge games and has, you know, he has the confidence of the coach, and he's played that spot before. So in some sense, I understand why we play him there, but it really just does not work out. I mean, I heard some of the Twitter haters, you know, the thousands of them, saying like, wow, Roberto wouldn't start for a Segunda Division team, things like that. Overall, yeah, it just doesn't seem like he works out. Same thing with Semedo, and why I was disappointed in his performance today is that anytime we're bombing down the right side, none of these players are willing to, you know, be aggressive and try to go by their man. And so it creates a situation where Messi has to create all the goals, and then if people aren't going to finish him, he has to score all of them. So we are building a little bit too much of Messi dependence again, like we have for the last, you know, 3 years, basically. But Sergio Roberto definitely is not working out on that right side.
I do want to talk about our overall feel of the game, though, right?
Sure, sure. We've been a little bit negative, Nancy, but
overall, today's game gave me very positive light. It seemed like our offense was making a lot of chances. We were taking, you know, some great shots. We were making some great passes. And I also want to say, like, the energy of the game. The players didn't give up despite some of these going down twice.
Yes.
And that's this the fight, and I've talked about this for a long time. The fight is what we needed, right? So today it looked like, you know, we got...
They wanted to be there.
Yeah, they wanted to play the game. They wanted to run. They wanted to touch the ball. That's a big thing I see, is that players don't move towards the ball a lot of the time. And today I saw players moving towards the ball. They were. It seemed like they already had that third sense. They knew some of the passes were going to come back to them or whatever it was. And I mentioned this last time, but there was a pass where Rakitic from our last game passed it to Messi and then just stood there. And Messi passed it back to him. Forward pass to make some progression, and he just didn't move. And that's today I saw that. But you know, I think Setien has started slowly creating a very offensive, opportunistic play that we're seeing, and I think it's just starting to unfold.
I agree. I think contrary to Valverde's tactics and how the players played under him, it seems like when a player passes to another player, there's already a thought of where that third pass is going to go.
Sure.
Right? Which under Valverde, it was not like that. Under Valverde, it was like, I have the ball. Okay, who do I pass to so then they can pass it to Messi? Even though we're still seeing a little bit of Messi dependence like I was just talking about, I do feel like the team is thinking in an offensive manner that is trying to set up connections and to move the ball forward in a progressive way, looking to score, right? Rather than Valverde, we had commonly the theme of like, oh, we have possession for possession's sake, which we often lamented was a horrible way to think about, you know, trying to create goals. It wasn't a very fruitful endeavor under Valverde and Setien. It does seem like when we have possession, there's a clear goal in mind and there's a path towards scoring that is there for us.
Well, think about two of our goals as well. We're off set pieces, right? And it seems like Setien has more of a plan coming off these set pieces to create opportunities. Well, I didn't feel like that was so much of a lighting thing on Valverde's gameplay. It seems like Setien has the players come out on the pitch with a goal in mind, and that's what I felt lacked in Valverde. We need to have a plan coming out in these games. And, you know, we barely tied them at the end of the second half, and it seemed like we came out in the third half and we played even better. We wanted to win this game. We needed to win this game, and we came out and we made it happen. And I think players like Messi that showed some enthusiasm today and some heart really inspires our young players and really inspires us to pick ourselves up and continue moving forward, especially under a new coach and especially with all the issues we've just had with, you know, that whole comments with Abidal and whatnot. I think this is a time to unify, push forward, and we're down 3 points on Real Madrid. We can't fall behind now. It's not the time. It's honestly the most crucial time of our La Liga season.
And Champions League, which is coming up.
True.
And I think, you know, it's a tale as old as time in sports that winning helps paper over the other issues you guys might have, right? That was something, especially as I think about Kobe a lot the last few weeks and think about those Kobe Shaq eras, like they were able to hold together because they won three titles in a row, right? Sure. Like even when you have people who are disgruntled and might not be agreeing on everything, like the more you're able to win, the more you can avoid some of the issues that might be bubbling up under the surface. Now, that, of course, doesn't mean we shouldn't figure them out, and that doesn't mean that we don't need to, you know, reinvigorate the squad with more youth and get more players who are going to buy in and, you know, have competition amongst the team so that, you know, no one has a safe spot all the time like we saw so much the last few years. But we'll address those issues in the summer once our coach, Setien, has had a full offseason, right? You know, we judge him and we judge everyone at Barca so quickly because we demand excellence because of our history in the last, you know, 15 years, basically the whole Messi era of winning and winning and winning. And so, you know, we need to be patient with this season. We need to be happy that there is development, right? It's not just being patient because, oh my God, he got thrown into this crazy storm and it'll be better eventually. It's like, no, we are getting better. And the players seem to be buying into his system. And hopefully, you know, the next few weeks, which will be crucial, will continue to improve. Speaking of that, we have Getafe coming up at the Camp Nou this Saturday. You know, before we sign off here, Yus, what do you predict?
I'm going to go with Getafe's a tough one for us recently, I think. And, you know, I think that I'm going to go...
Getafe's a tough one for the whole league, man. They seem like the pretty clear favorites to finish third.
Yeah.
They're sitting at 42 points in the table. I mean, obviously seven behind us, but they're three above Atletico and Sevilla.
Sure.
And they're 12 wins, six draws, five losses. Only lost five times. So, you know, thankfully we're having them come to the Camp Nou, but they are one of the premier teams, I would say, in La Liga.
The issue is I still think our defense has issues keeping the ball out of our own net, right? So I think I'm going to go... Oh, it's so hard. I'm going to go a 2-1. I have no idea who's going to score. I'm going to go one with Messi since he seems like he's been heating up a lot. Actually, I'm going two Messi.
Wow. We're
going to let up one goal. But Messi looks like he's wanted to score. Looks like he should have scored. And so I think this is the game. He's going to come out. We need these 3 points. That's my prediction.
I like it. You know, we're without Lenglet, which is going to be a little tough because he got a red card. It's actually funny. In the first game we played against Getafe away, he got a red card in the 82nd minute, but we won because Suarez and Firpo scored, if I remember correctly. And that was a game without Messi. Like you, I think Messi's going to come back and score. I mean, I know the guy, like, he doesn't go on cold streaks like this often. I know he's just yearning to score and, like, get back out there and just show that he's scoring goals, especially with, you know, must be said, Cristiano scored in 10 straight games, and I'm sure that's rubbing Messi a little bit the wrong way to see everyone trying to throw their agendas towards Cristiano, as the media often does. So I'm going to predict a 2-0 score with Messi scoring both.
Wonderful. Okay. We'll see you guys next week.
Yes, please follow up and message us, DM us on Twitter and Instagram about some apparel ideas. We have a little bit of, some ideas cooking up our sleeve, but we'd love to hear what you guys think as well. Thank you.